Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans. We're here every week talking about things in the theme park world. I'm Bex, this is Kev.
Hi, everyone.
And we are joined once again by our friend from the USA, Mark Rosenzweig. Welcome back to Parkcast.
Thanks so much, Bex. Great to see you again.
Well, it's great to see you, and I'm afraid I had to get you back. I mean, by popular demand or viral comments. After you were here not very long ago, and we were talking about your sort of thoughts on UK theme parks after your visits over here as a US enthusiast, and you just made one little throwaway comment, and it was here and it was gone, and then it was on the internet and it went a little bit viral. So I thought I'd bring you back to talk about it and go into a bit more detail. And your comment was that Nemesis isn't even the best inverted coaster in the UK and that it's overrated.
Yes.
You still stand
by
that statement?
And I had to follow that up.
Go on then.
Yeah, I had to do some damage control to follow up that just because something is overrated does not mean it's not a fantastic ride.
Yes.
So the witch hunt was on, but I had to put that out there. So
well, you say that, but actually a lot of people were totally agreeing with you. There was a lot of people in the this was on Instagram and TikTok. If you haven't seen that, you go and follow my page on there. Just search Bex Parkcast. I'll pop up. And there was a lot of people in the comments saying, yeah, this man's absolutely nailed on. Like, I agree 100%. I thought it would be interesting to dig a little bit deeper into the world of inverted coasters and your opinions on them. Because am I right in saying you've ridden every operating inverted coaster in the US currently?
Yeah, I would say so. And probably Canada. Not that there are that many up there. But
wow.
Yeah, it's the US is where the inverted coaster was born in 1992. And I believe it is the country with the most operating inverted coasters as well. It's just sort of a genre that really took off here. And various manufacturers introduced product that was similar to the original B&M product. And every major park needed to have one, really, to stay competitive. So it was the 90s were a very exciting time, let's just say.
Yeah, well, yeah. And it was such a sort of technological leap to go underneath the track. Well, we take it for granted now, don't we? Because there's so many of them. Oh. But actually, to go like from being sat on the top to underneath was like, what? That's crazy.
You know, Bex, the thing is this. You know, today, every enthusiast has family members. As soon as there's something that goes viral about coasters, everyone in your family or your friends is sending you via text message or Facebook, whatever. Hey, did you see this? Did you see this? Well, in 1992, that didn't exist. So it was always here in America, we have the holiday weekend that kicks off the summer holidays is Memorial Day weekend. It's the it always falls on the last Monday of May. So it's coming up here in a couple of weeks. And the New York Times would always put out their travel issue as part of that. And in that was a sub issue that was dedicated to what's new in the world of theme parks. And I was a jaded, you know, at the time, 15, 16 years old, whatever, but no one had ever seen an inverted coaster. So when I saw the photo of Batman the Ride at Six Flags Great America with the loop, with the train going around the outside of the loop, it just looked impossible. Like, how does that even work? But yeah, it was wild. It was a wild time.
It's something that I say a lot when I'm talking to people online, to younger enthusiasts now. I'm like, you have to understand how much you take for granted that for us was crazy. Like even talking about Oblivion and the first vertical drop, which is now that, you know, they'll be like, oh yeah, Oblivion, whatever. I'm like, no, at the time, like to see a coaster track doing that was insane. And it's the same with inverted coasters. You know, when they first came out, it was like, wow, I didn't even know we could do that. And we had no idea what it would feel like to ride them either. It was just... Sure. It was such a leap. Like you say, you've ridden a lot of them. You've covered off them all in America, possibly Canada as well, and obviously some in Europe. So I wanted to get your thoughts on where you rate, which ones you rate, you know, which ones we should really go and try and ride. And I know that obviously, like you say, you were there at the inception of really of them and how they sort of came about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I think to start this, it'd be fun to kind of take a step back because the inverted coaster was really the next step generation or, you know, just technological advancement in what was the suspended roller coaster. So I thought we could take like 5-10 minutes if that just kind of run through. So 1975, the year before I was born, so a very long time ago, a ride called Alpenflug what debuted at Oktoberfest in Munich. So this was the first modern day suspended coaster on record. The company Messerschmitt was a German aircraft company, actually, that designed and fabricated this ride for one of the German showmen. And it only operated that one 12-day event, essentially, and then it was scrapped. The big fail there was the track was not banked, so they found severe stress cracks in the track and structure from the trains taking the swings. Now, this for UK enthusiasts, this ride was picture a traveling version of Vampire, essentially a Chessington World of Adventures, but with the original bat trains that you were sitting down inside, the old aero trains. So, there were a lot of lessons learned. The ride was very intriguing. People apparently queued up for hours to ride it because no one had ever seen anything like it. And it was designed to travel very much like Olympia Looping, let's say. You know, it was on that scale, like the first really large scale portable coaster. So that then kind of that concept got shelved, but a lot of operators were intrigued. And then it was 1981 that Kings Island, right down the street from me, debuted a ride called the Bat. Now, people get the Bat name confused because there is currently an aero suspended coaster operating at Kings Island called the Bat. That is not the ride that we're talking about now. The original Aero Hus, this is during the time when Aero and Hus were partnered. They introduced the first prototype suspended coaster, and believe it or not, it had the same fatal flaw that Alpenflug had. The turns were not banked, so you had this incredibly exhilarating ride. The train's going through the course. It had two lift hills and wild swinging side to side. Well, that swinging caused damage to the trains, damage to the track, and the columns. So that ride sadly only lasted. It operated very minimally for over the course of 3 years, and then it was scrapped. It was taken out. So back to the drawing board, and guess what? We came back in 1984 with the Big Bad Wolf at Busch Gardens Williamsburg, an accelerator at Astroworld in Houston. Bank track, amazing concept. We learned, right? So now guests could experience this ride. It was thrilling. It was unique. It was marketable. And the maintenance team could actually maintain the ride, and the operations team could actually operate the ride on a regular basis. So that led to several of those installations. Again, it was early 90s, I think, when Chessington World of Adventures debuted Vampire in the new Transylvania area. And to this day, I would argue that Vampire is the most popular coaster in the park. It is that like landmark ride. Everybody rides it. It's not a kiddie ride. It's not a super thrill. It's that perfect Chessington demographic ride. So yeah, there were several. There are only four of the Aero suspendeds left operating in North America. Those are the Bat, the new Bat here that was open in the 90s. Vortex up at Canada's Wonderland, which has a very similar layout to the Bat. Iron Dragon at Cedar Point, which most enthusiasts are familiar with, and then a real cult classic, the Ninja, which is at Six Flags Magic Mountain in Valencia, California. And that one, very cool, built on the side of a hill, and it has a lift hill at the end of the ride to pull the trains back up to the station. So you kind of leave the station, do a small lift, dive down the side, and what have you. So, yeah, I mean, it was a very, very exciting time. But those rides did like a lot of things, they run their course. And so the parks and the manufacturers are kind of working like, what is the next step? So it was actually one of the directors at Six Flags Great America had become very close with B&M, Bolliger & Mabillard, through their B&M were engineers with Giovanola. So over the course of time, Six Flags Great America, this is the park in Gurnee, Illinois, had put in several Giovanola rides that were brokered by Intamin, like the Space Diver Coaster. They had a first generation free fall. They had a looping starship. So a lot of these pieces of hardware had gone through there, and they had developed a relationship. And that culminated with Great America contracting B&M for their very first coaster, which was the Iron Wolf. It was a stand-up coaster. And that was in 1990. So fast forward to 1992, and I think that's why we're all sitting here right now. That is when Batman the Ride debuted, which there are many Batman the Rides across North America, and the layout has been cloned over a dozen times. But that original one was custom designed for the site in Chicago. And it, for my money, it's still the best of those clones just because it swoops over water, you have trees around you, and you can really get the sense that it was designed for that site. And then rubber stamped everywhere else.
As a whistle stop tour of the inverted coaster. And I was amazed. I love that. There's so much information in there that I've not heard before. And yeah, like you say, I think when we think about inverted coasters now, it probably is the B&M ones that really spring to mind. Like obviously there's a lot of different types of inverted coasters. And we've got to talk about some Vekoma SLCs in there as well, like whether we want to talk about them or not, we have to. But I think when B&M released their inverted coaster, that was like the sort of monumental shift, wasn't it? And that this is a new era now for roller coasters, and wow, how successful they were with that. Do you want to talk us through some of your favorites? Like we say, you've ridden everyone in North America. You know what you're talking about with this. So if Nemesis is overrated, up for debate. Don't get angry in the comments. Don't go throwing arrows at us. If Nemesis is overrated, what isn't? What are the inverted coasters that we should really be riding, and why?
To clarify, I think Nemesis is, when I say overrated, it's just because of how much it was hyped up to me. And also, as an American enthusiast, now professional working in the industry, I've known of the ride since it opened because it was in that we had a video series called America's Greatest Coaster Thrills in 3D. And then there was World's Greatest Coaster Thrills. And they literally sent these cheap 3D glasses and they would show POV and there were interviews and backstory of the ride. So it was very intriguing to me because I had just ridden as a kid from New York City area. I had ridden my first inverted coaster in 1993, and that was Batman the Ride at Six Flags Great Adventure. So exact clone of the one in Chicago, the second one to be installed. And so I was really intrigued to see how it was, designed in this trench that had to be blown out of the ground because they couldn't go above the tree line. So I love that the creative backstory to it, both the actual creative, but how you're able to get a layout of 2,300 feet of track in that site and keep the pacing. Nemesis' strongest trait to me is its pacing. I think its weakest trait is it lacks a first drop. So it just feels as though you come off the lift hill and the lift hill could be the mid-course block break, let's say. But there's not really anything you could do about that. It's sort of like Wicker Man really can't have a sizable drop because of the physical challenges of the site. Do you want me to start at like the what I would call the elite, or do you want me to start at the bottom with the ones that Kev and I might walk past and not even get in the queue for?
Let's start at the bottom. Let's work our way up. Let's end on a high, I think.
Okay. Well, let me give you some. I have a few honorable mentions. These are rides that I have ridden that have gone to the big inverted coaster graveyard in the sky.
Oh, that's sad.
I'm going to start with my all-time favorite inverted coaster, plural, could be plural, Dueling Dragons at Universal's Islands of Adventure. So this attraction opened with the park in 1999, and it was made up of two tracks, fire and ice. And fire was the more intense of the two. Ice was more floaty. It had more of the standard off-the-shelf elements like a cobra roll, vertical loop, heartline roll, flat spin. Fire had several unique elements. For one, it was one of the only inverted coasters that had an actual, just an airtime hill, like a big floaty camelback that you went up over the top while ice navigated its heartline roll right under you. So kind of a foot chopper effect where when the other train was right under you as you were going straight. And then it had an element called a wraparound immelman. So you went up into an immelman. And then if you picture, you dive out and continue downward in this helix that felt like it was pulling 4 to 5 Gs. It was just really, really intense, but also very smooth and great pacing. So that was a huge loss, although it's hard to say Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure. I mean, that is arguably the best family coaster ever introduced in the world. So maybe a fair trade-off, probably a better fit for a Harry Potter area than a giant complex of inverted coasters. The other Volcano, the Blast Coaster, King's Dominion, that's a cult classic that people from the East Coast are enthusiasts that made it to King's Dominion. I think it closed back in 2020 or 2021. I don't remember the exact year, but it opened in the late 90s. And it was, as far as I'm aware, Intamin's first full circuit launched inverted coaster. And I don't even know if there was another one, a full circuit, using a magnetic launch system. You had an initial rolling launch, and then you came around this big sweeping turn into the second launch, which launched you vertically over 155 out the top of a volcano that would periodically erupt as well. So really cool. And then you did some flat spin, heartline roll type maneuvers up top the mountain before dropping back in. Very short ride, but amazingly unique and iconic for that park, and
Why did they
a
get rid
very
of
sad loss.
that? That sounds so much fun.
Yeah, it was. I think the mountain itself may have had some issues. I don't really know the full reason as to why it was. It was relayed that it was at the end of its service life. It had operated, for 20, 25 years or so. So, it certainly wasn't due to lack of popularity, I will say that. So there was some other reason, whether it was financial or, it could have been that they just wanted to clear the site for the launch wing coaster, which exists there now. I don't know for sure, but Wicked Twister at Cedar Point. For me, I love the Intamin Impulse coasters, and this was the best of the ones that I rode because it had the twisted spike on both ends. So it didn't have the hold break like Steel Venom at Valley Fair, but the visuals of being launched backward and then going vertical while doing like a corkscrew, looking down at the beach in Lake Erie was really a special visual. And then Dishonorable, I'll call this, and I don't know how many viewers of Parkcast had the unfortunate opportunity of riding, but there was a traveling coaster called Eurostar that played. I rode it at Oktoberfest in Munich in 2003, I think it was. It was owned by Oscar Brook, who also owns Alpina. I think it's the Alpina Blitz coaster. It's a Schwarzkopf that does not have inversions on it. Great concept, in design, sort of like hey, let's do Olympia looping, but inverted. It was just unfortunately very very rough, very shaky, and almost impossible to ride defensively. So they had to bring the train to a dead stop on the block brakes just to, save riders from bashing their heads. And I think the ride, if I'm not mistaken, it still operates in Russia to this day.
Oh,
I'm not
wow.
sure if it's in St. Petersburg or in the Moscow area, but it is in a theme park somewhere in Russia. So it was sold there. So yeah, those are the honorable mentions. And then I don't know if I would call these the worst, but just going, starting, let's say at number 21, we'll group all the first generation Vekoma SLCs, the ones with the original
Here we
track and
go.
the original trains.
Sorry, Vekoma. You've come a long way.
Vekoma is a very different, I mean, I'm happy to say Vekoma is a very different company today than it was in
Absolutely. Oh,
1994, 1995. But I on the plus side for these, a brilliant layout. They clearly, the marching order was to put the most they could on a very tight footprint, and they succeeded with that. Unfortunately, they just don't ride well. And whether it's lateral headbanging, the very bulky shoulder restraint, or the forward back, that's one thing that really hurts me is a lot through the ride. You get that like you're hitting into your lower back as the train is trying to almost push and pull like a caterpillar through the layout. And it's not fluid, it's not enjoyable. It looks great from off ride. I'm sure in a pay-per-ride park, they probably do fine because it draws people in. I don't know how many people ride more than once though.
Well,
But
interestingly, there's a couple of people, my husband and my friend Glenn, both say that they don't get any bother with them at all. They will ride Infusion at Blackpool Pleasure Beach all day long, and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about, when I'm like, that is the worst type of ride for me. They don't get headbanging, they don't find them uncomfortable, they don't find them rough, and I start questioning my own sanity. So I'm very glad that you agree with me that
may,
no, they are
in
definitely rough.
American, yeah, in American football, they have a thing called concussion protocol, where a player has to go through before they're allowed to play again. You may want to have your husband check for that because he
Or
may
wear
not even
American
know.
helmet. You could wear a helmet. I don't know if they'll
Yeah,
let
there you
you
go.
wear an
Yeah.
American helmet whilst riding it, but
I
you
could
could.
try
Yeah.
that next time,
I think
maybe.
you'd look great. You'd look so
Yeah,
cool
I
just
think I
sitting
would
there
as
with an
well.
American helmet on, American football helmet on.
It's one thing to just sit, but we can knock the ride because it's not the most enjoyable. But a lot of parks have stepped up and invested in their SLCs with great success. Six Flags New England and Six Flags America, the park that just closed last year, were two of them that invested in new trains with vest restraints. So now you have it's still a shaky ride experience, but you don't have this big bulky harness
Yes.
that you're hitting your head into, which
Yeah.
I found a vast improvement. So those two parks and the trains from Six Flags America made the journey across the border to Vaughan, Ontario, Canada, and they're going to debut on the SLC at Canada's Wonderland later this season. And that ride has actually gotten a brand new, it was called Flight Deck. It was one of the Top Gun rides from the Paramount days. And it is now going to be called the Daredeviler. So it's going to take on this, World Expo flight motif. And it works great because that area of the park is called the World Expo. So when Canada's Wonderland first opened, that was the theme. And it kind of went away like a lot of parks. The theme kind of gets diluted over time. So I love this for them. And I think ridership is going to skyrocket as a result of this. One other, I'll just give an example. And actually, one of my favorite inverted coasters is the Great Nor'easter at Maury's Piers in Wildwood, New Jersey. Not only did they get the new trains, but they completely retrack the ride in much the way that Efteling did for Python. And it is an impeccable experience. So if you want to enjoy the amazing layout of an SLC and have a smooth ride, you have to travel to Wildwood, New Jersey. It's a top five inverted coaster in the world for me. And
What?
it's the
Really?
same ride that operates at Blackpool. It's just
Wow.
with, better fabricated
Okay.
track and trains that only have vest restraints. And it's
How
just you get
interesting.
off it and you walk around, you want to ride it again and again. So it doesn't feel normal, right? It's weird,
Yeah.
that feeling of I want to
No.
ride it again. Because
Yeah.
Infusion, I
That's
would imagine for most
fascinating.
Brits is once a year, if that.
Oh,
So
I've literally said I'll never ride it again. But I would love to ride a smooth version of Infusion. Like that, oh wow, how fascinating, amazing. And you're right, like Python at Efteling is totally smooth, so yeah, it can be done.
Because there's something about sending twos than fours, I think, on these inverted coasters. There's something that's obviously gives you the different sensation of being in a pair than a four. That gives you a bit more whip around. But yeah, if there is a smoother version, that'd be amazing.
It's a long way to
Absolutely.
go,
And
but you know, it could be
long
worth
way.
it.
Well, it's 3 hour drive from New York. So I mean, we talked about it on
Oh,
the US
yeah.
road trip. So it's right down the
Okay.
Garden State Parkway. It's a pretty easy drive. And impeccable vibes. If you like an energized boardwalk seaside amusement park, it's hard to beat Wildwood.
Cool. Awesome. Okay. Where are we going to next? Let's move up the rankings.
Mid tier.
We'll start. So those are like my 21 and 20, we'll call it. 19, I have Odyssey at Fantasy Island. So we're staying in the
Really?
Vekoma
That's a superb
SLCs.
SLC.
Yeah.
That
Well,
on
now
in its
mind you,
own
the
right.
Yeah, this is an enigma of a ride, and it has a couple of rough spots. I noticed the one visit I had, the bottom of the first drop, and I think the exit of the big vertical loop, it bounced a little bit headache inducing, but it was smooth. I didn't really hit my head much, so I don't know what you
Wow.
guys think of that ride, but I just
I
it's a slow lift hill. I don't know if anyone noticed how slowly that lift hill
Oh yeah.
takes forever just to get to the
Preparing
top,
yourself
but.
mentally for the incoming migraine. I'd say it's marginally better than Infusion for me. I know it's been a few years since you rode it, Mark. I know some people do say it's a lot smoother. For me, I mean, it's marginal. I live half an hour down the road from it, and unfortunately, it's not
I
something that I
prefer
can
it than
do. Mind you,
Bex
Infusion.
and Kev, we're at the bottom of the list. So we're work that like this is the bottom. So 19 is the bottom. We're gonna go through all of these here.
Let's go.
Number 18, gosh, I'm just sticking with these Vekoma rides in the UK. I have Kumali at Flamingoland. And
Oh, okay.
this is an interesting one because it looks like an SLC, it smells like an SLC, but it doesn't quite ride like one. And I don't know why that is. It opened in the era of the first generation SLCs, but it was a custom layout at the time. And I don't know how you guys feel, but the pacing is great. The mix of elements, it feels a little bit more B&M-ish because it has the Heartline roll and the Cobra roll. But I just found it inoffensive. I only think I rode it twice, but it wasn't It was more because they were running one train and the queue was long. It
Oh,
wasn't
yeah,
because I
probably.
didn't want to ride it again. So,
Welcome to Flamingo Land. Maybe it's just one of those things. It's like you'd randomly get a smooth first time for coma. Like, you know, we've mentioned Odyssey at Fantasy Island, and Millennium is the same. The sit down Vekoma, not being retracted or anything, it's just perfectly smooth. It's just like sometimes they just get it right. Okay, yeah, I'll allow it. Carry on.
Okay, 17. I have Patriot at Worlds of Fun in Kansas City, Missouri. So this is a later inverted coaster. It opened in the early 2000s, and I think it was actually 2006. So a little bit later than I remember. But not a bad ride. Just very, for me, uneventful. Very middle of the road. Perfectly fine for a regional park for people that are probably not visiting parks outside of Kansas City unless they're in Orlando or Anaheim. Foreign versions really kind of middle of the road, so not amazing, not terrible, just there. Speaking of which, number 16, Silver Bullet, Knott's Berry Farm, from that same era, same customer. It was Cedar Fair at the time. We're buying these for their medium-sized parks, and Silver Bullet has a little bit more interesting layout. It weaves its way around the park. It has that iconic cobra roll right at the front entrance. Really strong finish with two back-to-back flat spins and a double helice that you struggle to like lift your legs. Like very, very strong positive G's on that. Just middle of the road. Again, nothing amazing, nothing terrible. Just it's a good ride for the park. 15, I've got Intamin Impulse Coasters. So those are for America. We have Steel Venom at Valley Fair. We have the Flash Vertical Velocity at Six Flags Great America. And then I'm drawing a blank on the name of the ride. It was called Voodoo, and I think they changed the name, but it's at Dorney Park in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So those are the impulse coasters we have here. Sadly, as we talked about earlier, Wicked Twister is no longer operational.
And do they all ride
And
exactly the same?
Valley Fairs is notable because it still uses the hold brake on the back spike. So you
Ah,
launch
okay.
forward, you launch back, and then you launch forward again. You get to the high point, and then you come back, and then it holds you for about 2 or 3 seconds, which is pretty
Nice.
terrifying. You
Yeah,
drop
yeah.
again, and so
Yeah.
okay. So moving to 14, and this is a very old one, one of the first to open, first custom flight deck at California's Great America in Santa Clara. This was another Top Gun when it first opened in 1993. And it rides like Nemesis and Batman the Ride, very compact, snappy, intense, short ride. And at the time, it was a novelty. It was the first inverted coaster to open on the West Coast. It opened a year before Magic Mountain got their Batman clone. So notable for that. Very cool ending. It dives down to the water with a helix that feels like your feet are going to skim the water, but it's an iconic ride for the park. 13, I've got Batman the Ride. They're everywhere. If you go on a road trip in America
Which
and
one?
you're, I like the one in Chicago is sentimentally is my favorite. It's just the first one. And as I said earlier, it was custom designed for that site, and then it was rubber stamped everywhere else. So you can kind of see how it was really weaved into that very tight location. And some other sites, it's like on a big open footprint, so it kind of loses a little bit. But the ride, it was sort of like that buffet or smorgasbord of, the first, vertical loop, heartline roll,
Yeah.
flat spin. Those are the three main elements: helices, intense forces, smooth as butter, and they still all ride well, which is great. There's one at SeaWorld San Antonio. La Ronde in Montreal has one. Six Flags over Texas, over Georgia, St. Louis, Magic Mountain, Great Adventure, and Great America all have this layout. So
Do you
if you throw
mind?
a stone, you'll hit one.
Do you mind that there are so many of them, or do you are you like, no, it's a great layout. Why would you not duplicate it?
I think initially I didn't mind. I don't really mind because I understand the business side of it. I understand, why pay for R&D if you're in a remote market and you want this ride in your collection. It makes total sense to do a clone. When I'm at Magic Mountain, for example, they've got, I don't know what it is now, 17 or 18 coasters. If I'm short on time, I'm probably not riding Batman. I'm probably sticking to Twisted Colossus or X2 or Tatsu, something unique and custom at the park. But when I'm at a Great American Chicago, I make an effort to ride it every visit because it is definitely part of that park.
Okay, where are we
Okay,
up to?
above number 12, I have Nemesis at Alton Towers. So
Oh, here she
this is number
is.
12. This is above Batman. So it rides like a first generation B&M inverted coaster, which I love. You know, their more recent rides have gotten a little bit more open and flowy, whatever that word is I'm looking for, more of a, you know, gradual transition. Whereas these older rides were snappy, they were intense. And the thing with Nemesis, especially if you're fortunate to ever get a night ride on it and they fill the trench with smoke, you don't know which way you're going. I mean,
No.
obviously the nerds are going to know every inch of the track, but my first ride on it was during a Scarefest night. I was there for work, and
Wow.
the maintenance director took us down to Forbidden Valley to ride Air and Nemesis, as Air was called at the time. And we couldn't get the front row. I think they were allowing people to queue, but it was just a very long line for it. So he said, "Let's go to the back." So he put me in the back right seat. He said, "This is the best seat." I said, "Okay, fine." And it was mind blowing, completely mind blowing. Just you couldn't see your hands in front of your face. It was just you're blowing through smoke and stuff. And you know, again, it is the best coaster at Alton Towers. I don't think there's any question for me. And again, to put the controversy to rest, overrated does not mean bad. It just means it's positioned here, whereas it's actually here. And in the rankings of UK coasters, I have not been on Hyperia yet, but I don't know if I have another coaster above Nemesis, Inferno, and Nemesis. I think those are my two favorite coasters in the UK. And I know I'm in the minority, but I can't control
I don't know that you
that.
are. I don't know the, and I
No.
don't know where, I don't know that I'd actually rate Hyperia higher.
No.
Controversial. I mean, I guess I like
Yeah.
Megaphobia was my number one UK
Oh,
coaster for
yeah.
a long time.
We love her.
But that's just because it did everything. You know, it was a nice long ride, and that's the one thing the UK lacks is long coasters. A lot of their they have a lot of good coasters, but they're all like a minute long. And you know, when you queue up, it's nice to have something a little longer. But so yeah, that's where
Yeah.
Nemesis sits for me. What do you guys think? I mean, you've grown up with
Well,
it.
I may have spit out my coffee when I heard what you were saying, Mark, about at first. No, but this is the thing with roller coasters, isn't it? And rides and attractions is that I think what's unique about it is we all get something different, I think, from these coasters. So there's nothing wrong with preferring Nemesis Inferno over Nemesis. I think it's because back in the 90s, if you grew up in the 90s, you went on Nemesis. That was, apart from Vampire, there really wasn't anything else like it. It was so
True.
intense. It was just so thrilling that it was your top pretend,
Sure.
probably. So whenever any other coaster, that when Oblivion opened at Alton Towers, you had Colossus open at Thorpe Park and Air then opened, all these coasters kept opening, but there was nothing that ever felt like it could kind of compete with it.
Yeah, I still think if you were asked any non-enthusiast in the UK to name a roller coaster, they'd say Nemesis. If you like, just
Well, and
asking
it
them in
goes back
general.
to, yeah, it goes back to rides sometimes become less of a ride itself and more of a rite of passage. They become ingrained in the local culture. Here in Cincinnati, the Beast is the ride. It's the ride that everyone measures everything else against because that's the ride my grandfather rode, and my, you know, then I rode with my mom, and then I rode, you know, and I think a lot of that then you know, enthusiasts from abroad come over and they ride it and say it wasn't that great. You know, it's a lot of flat track. There are trim brakes and like, yeah, but you know, like you're saying, Kev, everyone has their own part of it is sentimentality, a big part of it because you grow up with it and that's part of your childhood. It's part of who you are. And let's face it. I mean, regardless of the opinion, and you know, I mean, I hope we got some clicks for Bex with all this, but it doesn't matter because that ride has paid for itself tenfold. For Alton Towers. Think about what Nemesis did for Alton Towers. None of these other rides that we Smiler wouldn't exist if not for Nemesis. Wicker Man would not exist if not for Nemesis was the test case. And you know, they went all in with the backstory and the marketing, and that set the park on its path to where it is, you know, where it went through the 90s. And you know, you could say that for a lot of iconic rides here in the States. If not for Magnum XL 200, Cedar Point would not be the coaster capital of the world, as they call themselves. You know, and you probably wouldn't have Millennium Force. You wouldn't have Steel Vengeance. So opinions are opinions, but there's no
Absolutely.
doubting what that ride did, what Big One did for Pleasure Beach. You know, it's
Well, you
there.
see, I had the same effect with the big one. I wasn't disappointed, but I think because it was the tallest, it was this and that, it had that same impact on me going to Blackpool. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like oh wow, that was the best ride I've ever been on. But I think Nemesis Inferno has a really nice layout. Like, it has a really interesting layout. I just find it a bit short. But like you said, most UK coasters are short, so
Well,
you know.
and I think if you did a side by side Nemesis and Inferno, they're probably the same length. You know, it just mentally you think it's short, but if you add in the pre-lift section and station to station ride time, they're both probably right at 90 seconds. You know, when it's all said and done, and that's I put Nemesis Inferno right above Nemesis at number 11. What I love about it is I love the state, you know, for a small ride, they went in small. It's the shortest, I think, height inverted coaster that I can think of, outside of Nemesis itself, because that uses a train. I love the pre-lift section. I love how the station's elevated and you duck down under the station. And next time you guys ride it, I mean, just kind of like the pacing is impeccable. It is, and it's so smooth. You know, Nemesis, as it was getting up there in age, had started to get a little rougher. And I have not been on Nemesis, what is it called now? The
Reborn.
Reborn, but I've heard mixed reviews that, you know, depending on the day or the seat or which way the wind's blowing or what you had for lunch, you can it vibrates or something. I don't know. Kev, you could probably speak to that, but
I don't know what B&M have done to it, but it does rattle. There's a few seats, depending on where you sat, it does have a bit of a jolt to it, which it didn't before.
See, I hear
Well,
people say this, but I have never had a bad ride on it as Reborn. I think they saved
not a
it,
bad ride,
but yeah.
but you can hear it. I think it's on the wheels as they anytime it's on its side, it creates like a like
Yeah.
that.
I see, I would take that over what it became at the end, where it was almost becoming infusion painful.
Well, when you did the
I'll
zero
take the
G
rattle.
roll, you were doing this.
So give me the rattle. I've still got the ride. But yeah, okay. I know a lot of people do
So
that. I shouldn't
you
say that.
know, it's a very straightforward layout. It's not as unique as Nemesis. It has the loop, it has the heart line, and then I think it's the only inverted coaster with interlocking flat spins like that. It's sort of like Kumba at Busch Gardens Tampa,
Yeah,
but
that's
the
right.
other way. And it just doesn't let up. It's just really, for me, it's just very satisfying. And again, I'm sure. I feel like Hyperia probably is the best ride in the park now. When I get back there, I'll find out. But for my money, that was my favorite ride at Thorpe, and it wasn't really close. And all the attention was going to the wing coaster and it was going to Stealth, and I was just riding Inferno over and over. It was just great. And again, it's the anticipation. I went into it not expecting, and I got it. And Nemesis was the opposite. So they're both great rides. They're both right there. The UK is very lucky to have both of them. Let's leave it at that. Be friends, hold
Put
hands,
your
and skip down the
pitchforks
path.
down.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Okay, so now we are at number 10. So top 10 in my list.
Ooh, here we
Great
go.
Bear at Hershey Park. This is another story along the lines of Nemesis. A very unique site, a lot of challenges with regard to where to put footings and pilings and where they could not. If you're not familiar with Hershey Park, Spring Creek goes right through the center of the park. If you look at it on Google Maps, you could see it. They're not able to put foundations in Spring Creek. So they have these very quirky cantilevered structural pieces that suspend track as it swoops over the water. And this ride, you leave the station, you're up on the top of a hill, and you take a high helix, and then you dive down into the vertical loop, Immelmann, Heartline roll. It's really an inverted coaster along the lines of Icon at Pleasure Beach, where it interacts with so many other rides. And for a four across coaster, it's just a really one of, for my money, no one talks about this, one of B&M's crowning engineering achievements. The way that they were able to make this ride work in the location at Hershey Park where it went, high capacity, reliable. And I would say it's a top three fan favorite at the park. You know, every time I'm there, it has a long queue. It runs two trains, and it's really become one of the flagship rides there, I would say. Number nine down the road here, Banshee at Kings Island. Kings Island likes long coasters, so this is the world's longest inverted coaster. It's over 4,000 foot in length. It has one block from the top of the lift to the brake, so there's no mid course, and it packs all seven inversions in that one block. So, The inversions are big and sweepy. They're not snappy at all. So it's sort of the antithesis of Nemesis. This is a ride that you feel the speed, you feel the positive forces for long periods of time. And the lift hill is 167 foot, but I believe the change in elevation of the ride is closer to 190 foot. And the fastest speed is experienced at the bottom of the Immelmann, which happens almost halfway through the ride. So you start off and you're kind of going through inversions, going down the hill, and it really, it's a satisfying ride. You feel like after you've done it, okay. And it has unique trains, four across with vest restraints. It's the only inverted coaster to run these trains. It's almost a hybrid design of a wing coaster train with a classic inverted coaster train. So high capacity three train ride, and it's done very well for Kings Island. It opened back in 2014. Right above that, I have Alpengeist at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. This is another cult favorite,
Yeah,
and another
absolutely.
ride that rides the terrain well. And I will say this, it's one of the best themed inverted coasters in the world. For one, it's in the one of the German hamlets in the park. Busch Williamsburg is the old Europe theme, so they're different countries, almost like Europa Park. And so the whole area around the station is like a chalet ski village. And then the lift structure, they had custom lattice supports made for it, the only inverted coaster I know that has these, to resemble a ski lift. So this thing goes, it towers 195 foot. It's the tallest inverted coaster in the world. And it has a very unique drop where it actually spirals 270 degrees as you're dropping. And one of the opening, the first half is just so powerful. Like that you could feel your blood going to your feet. The Cobra Roll has extreme snap in it, like a very snappy Cobra Roll. And the end of the ride is a little slower. The mid-course does trim some speed off, but you still have a Heartline Roll and a flat spin. And there's some faux rock work with snow, so it makes you feel as though you're basically on like a runaway ski lift, essentially being chased by the mountain ghost, which
That's
is
so cool.
Alpengeist.
It's definitely a
It is a
bucket list
very cool ride.
coaster. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And Busch Williamsburg is one of those parks. It doesn't necessarily have like a standout elite coaster, so I would say Alpengeist is certainly up there with you can argue is the best coaster in the park. Number seven, this is another, I would say this is the Nemesis Inferno of America, Talon at Dorney Park. No one talks about this ride. Dorney is a great regional park. It's in Allentown, PA, about maybe 100 miles west of New York City, and it sits right at the front gate. It very much was designed to be that park's raptor. The way the front gate was designed, the main midway, the carousel building, and then the big inverted coaster behind it that runs the length of the midway. Impeccably smooth, great pacing, airtime. There's one mid-course drop that you actually get float out of your seat. And just again, a ride no one talks about. But if you get to Dorney, you'll find out it is an elite inverted coaster. Number six, and this was Bex's favorite name, I think, Afterburn at
Yes, I've got it
Carowinds.
on my list
Yes.
as well. I made a
So
list earlier and I was hoping you'd mention
this is another one of the former Top Gun coasters. This was called Top Gun the Jet Coaster when it opened in 1999 at Carowinds, then Paramount's Carowinds. And very much I call it Baby Montu. It's still over 120 feet tall, so it's not a baby ride by any stretch, but
Okay.
its opening sequence very much follows that of Montu. You have the curved drop, you have the vertical loop, Immelmann, Heartline Roll into a bat wing. And the cool thing here is the bat wing actually ducks into an underground tunnel that goes under the plaza for the park's south gate. So if you're not familiar with Carowinds, it has the state line of North and South Carolina goes right through the middle of the park. So the North Carolina gate, which is the main gate, that's where Fury 325 crosses over. And then you have the South Gate, which is down by Afterburn, which on very busy days, they open that as well for guest flow. So it's a very cool visual having the coaster duck right underneath the entry plaza. So it integrates well with the area, and it really is just one of the best inverted coasters.
I just wish they called it Afterburner, not Afterburn. I don't know, Afterburn feels like a weird
Remember at
name.
Christmas we did a quiz about cocktail or coaster. This would
Yes.
definitely go in cocktail or coaster, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, we'll say that now in the Christmas quiz this year, we'll stick it in and we'll see if whoever is taking part was listening. There you go.
Okay. I'm going to join this year, I think. I'm going to invite
Yes, well,
myself
you
and I'm going to come with
definitely.
questions, and we have to call it The Hanukkah coaster quiz, but that's okay. We'll figure that out.
Okay, we'll sort it out closer to the time.
Awesome. All right, top five. We'll go through this quick. Number five. We already talked about this. We can go through it. Great Nor'easter at Maury's Piers. It's the SLC that you're going to want to ride all day. Glass smooth, powerful, comfortable trains. Amazing setting. When you crest the lift hill, it's big one at Blackpool. You're looking at the ocean. You dive to the right, so and you're right on the beach. That same amazing visual, and it wraps around water slides. It's built over a lazy river, so just it's peak summertime. Everything. It's amazing. You have to get to Wildwood. Number four, Raptor at Cedar Point. This is the ride that shares a birth year with Nemesis 1994. It was B&M's first large scale custom inverted coaster. Six inversions. It's got all of the elements that the Batman clones have. It adds in, let me think, it has two flat spins. It was the first with the Cobra roll. That's what it was. And it's built right up on Cedar Point's main midway. It is one of the earlier, louder B&M coasters with the hollow pipe. So you really hear it roaring through the whole park. And so just a great ride, iconic ride for the park. And it was, really for so many years, it was the park's most popular coaster. I think right up those 6 years until Millennium Force debuted, it was the flagship at the park.
The color scheme on it, I think, is great as well.
Yeah.
That like hot
Yeah.
pink and the hot gray. It's not a scheme that I don't think, I can't think of another coaster that uses it actually.
It's very 90s. It's very early 90s.
That's why we love it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. There you go.
It's showing our age.
All right. My number three, this is another sleeper inverted coaster that I'm not sure how many have gotten to. Catone at Mirabilandia, which is in Rimini, Italy, on the East Coast. This ride doesn't make any sense, why or why it was placed at this park. To me, it's a resort park, so it's a park that's going to do great as long as the weather's great and the local resort hotels are full. This was their Y2K ride, and it is, when I say mammoth, I mean it's got to be close in height to Alpengeist and Banshee. It towers over every other coaster in the park. It's, I believe, six inversions, if I'm not mistaken, but it has that same mix, the big vertical loop, heartline roll, Cobra roll, amazing pacing, glass smooth. Now it's been over 15 years since I've been there, but I remember it really standing out to me as being a world-class coaster. So I don't know how many of your listeners have been down to that park. It's not the easiest to get to because it's almost one third of the way down the east coast of Italy. It's Gardaland is far easier to get to, I think. Okay, top two.
Here we
Hint,
go.
they're both Egyptian themed. They both have the same motif, the same color
Here we
scheme.
go. Here we go.
So number two, I've got Montu at Busch Gardens, Tampa Bay.
Oh, it's
Oh,
number two.
yeah,
Okay,
I thought you were going to
interesting.
put that number one.
This is just a landmark ride. Opened just after, if it was kind of B&M's follow-up to Raptor and the inverted coaster, the large scale rides. It came between Raptor and Alpengeist. Just something about it. It rides its terrain. It's got an amazing pacing. It was the first inverted coaster to introduce the Batwing, which is insanely exhilarating. When I say like just the snap on it and the positive G's you get, just an amazing, amazing coaster. And it's re-rideable. It doesn't beat you up. It's smooth. And it's a front, it kind of a front gate coaster. It's not really near the front gate, but it's one of the first rides you see when you enter the car park and you're taking the tram to the front gate. So it really gets you kind of excited for your day. And I don't know. Iron Gwazi is questionably, I'd say, a better coaster, but I think if you ask most park guests, Montu is the flagship ride at the park. It's been there since '96. It's just a landmark. It's there, and I don't see it really going anywhere.
No.
And then number one, Kosyrys at Parc Astérix.
Yes,
That's north of
okay.
Paris.
Awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Sorry.
That's your
I got
number
really
one.
excited.
Wow.
It's so good. Sorry.
It
That's
is.
not what I was expecting.
It
I was
is.
not
It, it.
expecting you to say it. I was
Well,
just so
the thing
excited
is,
that you said
again,
that.
the anticipation, right? So I visited Parc Astérix for the first time in 2019 when IAPA was holding their Europe Expo in Paris. So we got into town a day early, and fortunately, it's very easy to get to from Charles de Gaulle Airport. So we spent the day there, and this is before Toutatis opened, so that wasn't an option. But I kind of knew about all the coasters there. But Osiris to me was like, okay, yeah, we'll get to it. It's just another inverted coaster, I figured. Nothing could be further from the truth. Such a unique ride. For one, like Banshee and Monster at Grunelund, it doesn't have the pre-dip off the drop. You just go right into the drop. So the back of the train, you get completely whipped down. And the mix of elements is very unorthodox. It doesn't really follow any of the trends of former rides. It was clearly strategically designed by the park representatives and B&M to really take full advantage of the site. It dives down under that water feature in the plaza. It just feels like it goes on forever, and it's smooth, and it keeps its pacing. And I love, like Banshee, that it can run three trains without a mid-course block, so you don't lose that pacing. You're just going through it. It was the ride that I was drawn back to more than any other coaster. And this is a great park, great operations, great mix of rides. I think Osiris is their crown jewel, the best and the best coaster in their collection. Of course, the Intamin multi-launch wasn't there yet, but either way, I was really blown away by it, and happy to say that is my top-ranked inverted coaster.
That's
Wow.
amazing. And what, where,
That's
so
amazing.
Kev, you love that. So where do
Yeah.
you rank? Do you rank that above Nemesis?
I would say so, yeah. Simply because, like what Mark is saying, it just so happens you can get to Parc Asterix quite easy. If you're going to Disneyland Paris, we always drive to Disneyland Paris, but you always drive past it. So it's just perfect for going for a day. But yes, I would absolutely agree. Just that the layout is so different. I mean, Nemesis is unique because of the terrain. So you get that kind of feel of impact as you're flying around, but you feel that openness as you're going over everything. But yes, I would say it's definitely like it's a must visit park. I think people don't think that because it's you think Paris, you go Disneyland. I think really people should make a trip. There's an amazing wooden coaster there as well. So I just wasn't expecting you to say that.
You were taken aback. You were speechless.
I was thinking you were going to Fantasialand.
That mama.
I have not been there yet, believe it or not.
That's where I thought you were going.
Mark.
I
Yeah.
thought
Well,
you were going to
we've
Black
yeah.
Mamba, Bex. I was thinking that's where you would put it, wouldn't you?
Black Mamba and Nemesis are very close. I mean, obviously, I've not ridden all these coasters in America that Mark has. So for the ones that I've ridden, I would have always said Nemesis was higher. Now I've ridden Black Mamba more, and it's a lot more grey for me, I'll be honest. So actually, Mark, you really have to go to Fantasyland, and tell me when you're going because I'm coming with you, and we'll go and ride Black Mamba, and I want to know here where it slots into these rankings. That'd be quite interesting.
Definitely. Yeah, it was unfortunate. We had that trip to the Netherlands back and Paris back a few years ago, and I didn't realize how close Fantasialand is to Efteling.
Oh,
It's
it
only about
is.
two hours or so,
Yeah, a
but we had to
stone's
get back to
throw.
Amsterdam. So
Ah.
I did another instead of only having one day at Efteling, we did 2 full days at Efteling. This was our first time. So I
Yeah,
think that was justified.
I think so.
It's the one
Okay.
B&M cut inverter that I'm desperate to get to is to Fantasialand.
It's I mean, it's a great ride. It's got a great station. Much underrated. There's an underrated one, I think. Although now I've just told you, we've said it's good, so now are we
Oh, no, you've
overrating
already
it? I
overhyped
don't
it,
know.
so
Yeah,
it's okay.
exactly. No, it's rubbish.
It's all
You won't
right.
enjoy
Yeah. It's okay.
it. Number 22.
It's all right if you like inverted coasters with intent with great theming around it.
Right, so there we go. From one controversial statement in an episode to another, is Osiris the best inverted coaster in the world? Well, it is according to Mark, and he's ridden everyone in North America, or in the United States of America's. Well, we think Canada as well, don't we? So we'll
Yeah, I mean, it's just Vampire at La Ronde and Daredeviler at Canada's Wonderland. I don't think there are any others that come to mind, so.
That is a mind-boggling fact, by the way. That's a lot of roller coasters and a lot of parks I've got. Like, it does blow my
That's
mind when I
a...
think about how you get around and
You need
everything
to
you've
write a
been
book,
on.
Mark. You need to write like Mark's
Yes.
diaries of like around the world roller coasting, you know.
Yeah.
That's what you need
Maybe
to
I should
do.
start a podcast.
Hey,
I don't
we don't need any more competition.
Well, we can, yeah, we'll be partners back, so it'll be great.
Okay, let's do it. Well, look, if you've got any opinions on today's episode, I know you're going to. Let's be
Oh, yeah.
honest, you lot, you've always got an opinion. Let us know. I mean, if you've got any thoughts on any of these rankings, if you've ridden some of these ones in the US and you agree, you disagree, we always love to hear from you. So you can get in touch, leave us a comment if you're listening to this, or get in touch on the social media. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok. Just search Bex Podcast. And I'd love to know what you have to say. Mark, thank you so much for coming back on again, for braving the pitchforks and the flames and fighting your way through. And I think coming out unscathed, I'll be honest.
I think so, yes.
I'm married with kids. There's nothing that I'm done. It's okay.
Excellent point, well made. Now, there is going to be a little break from podcast for a couple of weeks because I'm off on my travels. I have the important event of going to Evictus next week, which I'm very excited about. And then I'm off on a trip to Europa Park. So no podcast for a couple of weeks. So if you haven't already, make sure you hit the subscribe button so that when the next episode comes out, you will know all about it. And I think you're going to want to hear it because we are speaking directly to a UK theme park who have a lot going on. There's a little tease for you. We will be back in a couple of weeks with that. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.